Blog Talk Radio.
So before we start the show, Danae's Dungeon, I just wanted to share with the listeners about some of the pre-podcast warm-up. So just a moment, we'll be ready for that in a second here. And this is what I went through about 3 minutes ago. Ah, there it is. Okay, there you go.
Hey, I made you do the Wilhelm scream. I am so talented.
Bad Carl, in the corner.
Back into the cage, dear. Hello,
okay.
Everyone.
Well, thank you, thank you.
This is what happens when I don't feed Carl regularly. Well,
please,
welcome
everyone.
To the... Yes?
No, I just said greetings. Hold on, I'll whip myself again. It's okay. Go ahead.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight, we are taking a trip to Iraqi Japan, where things get pretty interesting, and incest is wincest. But no, we won't be dealing with incest tonight, or any night, actually, I hope. No, tonight we are getting into the wild and wacky world of Japanese exploitation. The movies that I have to discuss tonight is a wonderful little gem that I discovered through my editor at Wing Chop Publications, Brian Harris. Shout out to Brian. It's called HK Forbidden Superhero. HK actually stands for Hentai Kamen, which translates to pervert mask, and we'll get into more of that later. And another one is, the next one I'm going to do is a movie called Kiko Kamen, which is based on an anime that was based on a manga by Go Nagai. This is another crazy movie. It's about another masked heroine, or this time it's a woman. And that all she has on is her crazy mask, a scarf, red boots, and nothing else. And again, we'll get into her later. Well, not literally.
I'm not sure about me. We'll see later.
She'll hurt you in a bad way.
Ooh, well, I'm in.
She'll hurt you worse than me.
Ooh,
superhero,
promises.
And on that subject again, Carl and I will have a shared movie that we will be discussing called Ichi the Killer, which I'm sure some of you might be familiar, directed by the famous, or some might say infamous, director Takeshi Miike. No, it is not Mike. It is Miike. I'm sorry, but I cringe every time I hear somebody call him Takeshi Mike.
No, it's not Mike. Trust me.
So, Carl, what's on your plate?
Well, I thought you would start with one, I'm not going to tell everyone what I'm going to do, but I'll start with one. Okay, so who doesn't like a good kaiju movie? You know, I mean, you like Godzilla, right?
Yeah,
Mothra.
I'm not a glamour girl, but I do like Godzilla.
All of those? Okay, so there was a movie that came out in the 2000s by the name of Big Man Japan. And basically, the whole thing about Big Man Japan is that there is this savior of Japan called Big Man Japan, who the role is passed on through the family. And so the grandfather is very, very well known as saving Japan from Godzilla and so on and so forth. But the son who is, or the grandson who is now doing it, is a drunkard and doesn't want to do it. So basically you have this character who has to transform into this giant man fighting basically a penisaurus, a little tiny baby. And it was made in 2007. It's wonderful. Director is Satoshi Matsumoto. And he also co-wrote it. And I'm going to tell you something. The monster and kaiju monsters in this are just one of a kind. You've never seen anything like this. There's one that takes its head off and uses it as a bowling ball. And then there's the ending. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but the ending during the end credits sort of moves forward into what you think are the superheroes now in Japan. And they're having a family dinner. And we'll just leave it at that. It is friggin' hysterical. It is wonderful, wonderful CGI of the monsters. It's funny. It's just, I love this movie beyond belief. And recommend it highly. So that would be my first recommendation of the night, would be Big Man Japan. And it's wacky as fuck. Trust me.
I saw previews of it.
And what did you think of the trailer?
Oh, it looks hysterical. That's the kind of movie that screams my name.
Oh, you've got to see this, Danae. I'm not kidding. This should be top of your list. It is just a wonderful film. Wonderful film. So that's my first recommendation. So we'll pass it over to you. And what do you got for us?
Don't bogart that film, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No. If it's Passover, you become Jewish. I'm just letting you know.
All right. Is HK, Forbidden Superhero. And like I said, it stands for Hentai Kamen, which is pervert mask. Born between an extremely masochistic detective father and extremely sadistic queen mother, Keosuke Shinjuku has a strong sense of justice and is a member of Kenpo Club at Kyu High School. He falls in love with a new classmate, Aiko Himeno. One day, Aiko is taken hostage in a bank robbery. As he disguises himself to infiltrate into the site, he puts on a pair of girl's panties by mistake instead of a mask, and he feels ecstatic as he has never felt before. The blood of his parents, previously dormant, has been awoken. He transforms into Hentai Kamen with 100% of his latent ability, fully aroused, and he defeats the evil with a superhuman power.
Okay.
And not only does he put the panties on as a mask, but he takes his underwear, pulls it up between his butt cheeks, and then takes the legs and wraps it, puts his head, crisscrosses it, and puts his head through it. So, and one of his maneuvers is to rub his enemy's face in his crotch. And he doesn't walk or run. He sashays.
Oh, man.
I never promised you Shakespeare.
No, that is not. No, that's not Shakespeare.
No, it's not Bergman either.
Not
this
me.
Is pure,
but it's not Shakespeare.
This is pure, unadulterated exploitation fun. I mean, if you want a serious mind screw of a movie that will make you think about it for days, well, it'll make you think about it for days, but not because it's intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. True. This movie, I would sitting there watching this, and I was stone cold sober. You know, I don't do drugs. I drink occasionally, and I didn't have any adult beverages while I watched this movie, and yet I kept wondering if I was drunk.
So, who directed this, Jim? Do you know?
Huh?
I mean, this sounds like... Who directed this? Do you know?
It is... Let me look on the back of the book. Oh, I can't read it, so I'm going to have to go on IMDb.
No, don't worry about it. It's not a biggie.
No, I've got it ready. Yuichi Fukuda.
Okay. Not familiar with him.
Let's
not familiar
see.
With him.
Yeah, and there's a second one called Forbidden Christ, or HK, The Abnormal Crisis, which I have not watched yet, but I it's definitely on my radar.
Oh yeah, I mean one of the things are, as a general rule. If you're going to look at Japanese films, you're going to find something out of the ordinary pretty easily. You know, even their horror films, you know, are of a different stripe, and so on and so forth. So, but man, they have some wacky stuff out there. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, I know. Never let it be said that they take themselves too seriously.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So I
know we're going to get it. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Danae.
Well,
I was going to pass the bet to you,
but if you have more to
well,
say.
Well, that's exactly. I figured it out, and I started saying something, and then you came in, and I just, you know, you are my mistress. I have to bow down to you. So, we're going to get into territory, which I'll then pass it over to Danae. But there is one director that, if you want strange, now not everything he's done is strange, okay? And we're talking about a director by the name of Takeshi Miike, okay? And he, over 20-some-odd years, or nearly 20 years, he has over 100 films out. So the man works constantly. He's done samurai films. He's done, did 13 Assassins. He's done family films. He's done superhero films. He's done all sorts of films. But one of the films that he generally does is Yakuza films. Now, Yakuza is the Japanese version of the mafia. But his Yakuza films aren't exactly normal, to say the least. When was the last time you saw a mafia movie with a cow-headed demon? Unless you watch, you know, Duke Mitchell films, probably not. And so we're going to talk about.
I haven't watched that many mafia films, but I don't think I've ever seen one with a cow-headed demon.
No, but this is called Gosu, and so basically, what it is you've got a Yakuza enforcer who's ordered to secretly drive his beloved colleague to be assassinated. But when his friend disappears, the trip that follows is a twisted, surreal, and horrifying experience. So basically, he's ordered to do this. And the beginning of this film will probably turn off a lot of people because there's a dog involved and it's not pretty. And it's violence. So be aware of that. But as you go on the journey, it becomes more and more strange. And Takashi Miike is just one of those people that goes off in directions. In fact, he is the only director of one of the episodes of Mastery of Horror to have his episode banned from Showtime, showing on Showtime at the time, because it was just too much.
Did you ever watch it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So did I. Yeah.
To say the least. And he pushes envelopes. There is a scene of a virgin birth in this movie that is just like, what the fuck was that? The surrealism is unbelievable. Plus, I got to say something. You know, before there was Black Phillip, there was the cow-headed demon. And God, I love the cow-headed demon in this. There's just so much absurdity, and some of it is played for humorous effect. It's just an amazing film. And I remember showing this to a friend of mine. He looked at me like, what drugs were you on back in the day that you liked something like this? So, you know, he says, and I don't want them either. it's just out there beyond belief. And I know you have a particular movie of Takashi Miike too you want to talk about.
Well, I decided to go with Visitor Q.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay, you know Ichi the Killer? Okay.
Well, we were going to do Ichi the Killer together. That was on.
Yeah, okay, okay. Oh, okay. I see what we're doing. Okay, cool. We could do Visitor Q together, too, because I love Visitor Q.
Hold on a second. I had changed it at the last minute, so I'm going to go and grab my DVD.
Do-do-do-do.
What do you mean, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do?
You back?
I'm back. I never left. I was
talking. I didn't hear you.
And you...
That is something that went wrong. Okay, never mind. We got it fixed.
Okay. Yes, Visitor Q. With Dead or Alive, he created one of the most bone-jarring, explosive opening sequences ever filmed. With Audition, he delivered possibly the most disturbing ending of all time. Now with Visitor Q, he has managed the impossible. He has done himself on both counts, and you got to take into account, Imprint was not made at the time that this was said. When shamed reporter Kiyoshi Yamazaki visits one of Japan's many comfort houses to make a documentary about sex and violence. Yes, a comfort house, folks, is a brothel. About sex and violence amongst the neighbor's youth, the nation's youth, he is somewhat surprised to encounter his nubile daughter. Soon after, he meets Q, an enigmatic stranger, and invites him to visit his family home. Upon entering this dysfunctional world, Q sets about teaching each family member a unique and special lesson. But will he succeed in creating domestic harmony? Outrageously perverse and truly unique, this transgressive experience will leave you shocked and stunned as it railroads taboos like there's no tomorrow. Boy, is this an understatement.
Well... He has a penchant for showing the family unit as basically perverted. He does this a lot. And this isn't the only one by any means. It's true of Gozu, too. There's part of that in Gozu. But, yeah, this one is like you have a troubled family. Somebody comes and visits, you know, takes advantage of all that, and by the time he leaves, they're all normal again, sort of. That's sort of the setup, but if you think it's simple like that, no. Not by a long shot.
Yeah, this family was not normal. As it was pointed out, the daughter's a prostitute. The son constantly abuses his mother, and she takes it. The father has a multitude of affairs. One of them was someone not living anymore, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Necrophilia. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah, the funny thing I do have to say about this is it is very, very funny. You know, I mean, there's some real shocking elements in here, and there's some drama. But wouldn't you call this like a black comedy? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. It's one of those movies where, I mean, I can't speak for you, but it's one of those movies where I'm sitting here laughing at stuff that I probably shouldn't be laughing at, but I can't help myself.
Uh-huh. This is true. One of the other things I want to mention about this film is that in many ways it is Mika's nod to Pasolini. Pasolini did a film called Teorama, which is basically the same setup. There's a very, very dysfunctional family. Someone comes to visit and takes advantage of them. But then basically cures them, sort of, and leaves. So it is very, very much a nod to Teorama. But whereas Pasolini was much more politically motivated in his film, this is much more socially conscious and just much more over the top than Pasolini. But you wouldn't. You wouldn't know that unless you knew the film that I'm talking about. But yeah, I did want to make that point. This is definitely a nod to Pasolini.
Interesting. That I did not know.
Oh, cool. Cool. I do like Mike Pasolini too. But one of the things about it too is that we're talking about Takashi Miike, almost every one of his films. I mean, you got Happiness of the Katakuris. When he goes into a superhero mode, which is Superman and Superman 2, those are off the wall. He just came up with a couple of films. First Love, which I've not seen, but I've heard was really out there. Yakuza Apocalypse is an absolute blast. But for everything that he does that's off the wall, he also has some very, very straightforward films. His two samurai films, 13 Assassins and Blade of the Immortal, are just fantastic films. And much more, you know. Go ahead.
Let's not forget Sukiyaki Western Django.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to go there, too. So go.
That's a revisionist Western if I ever saw one.
Oh. And I love the opening scene with Quentin Tarantino in it. Of course, Tarantino it's not unusual for some of these directors like Tarantino and that to love Mika as a director. But really, really good stuff. So tell us a little bit about Sukiyaki Django Western.
Okay. A nameless gunfighter arrives in a town ripped apart by rival gangs, and though courted by both to join, he chooses his own path. Basically, this is a homage to not just Django, but to a lot of the spaghetti westerns, only it has a distinctive Japanese flair to it. You'll have gunfights and samurai swords together. You'll have people in traditional Western wear, and you'll have them in traditional Japanese gear, samurai. You've got geishas. It's nuts. It is absolutely nuts. And how? I'm not a Western fan. But we were doing a section on Westerns in Wang's Chop, so I volunteered to do three because I'm not a Western fan, but, you know, I kind of wanted to get out of my comfort zone, and I picked this one, Dead Man, and the original Django. Dead Man, we won't discuss. It is too weird for me. Then again, Jim Jarmusch is an acquired taste. Django was okay. Like I said, it's not really my forte, but it wasn't bad. However, Sukiyaki Western Django, I freaking love. It is such a fun, good time. If you're a Western purist, this is not the movie for you unless you can watch it with an open mind.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but it is. I'm very predilected to Mika as a director just because you basically, if you watch any of his films, even his straightforward films, you're going to see something you've never seen before. I think the man is tremendous. And it's a good film. But as I said, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, too. In fact, I've not only been meaning to revisit it, but I've been meaning to buy it. Because it is one that I will watch over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's an interesting bit of trivia I found on IMDb. Quentin Tarantino's mechanical wheelchair has a duck hood ornament on one of the arms, the same hood ornament as on Stuntman Mike's car in Death Proof, directed by Tarantino.
Okay, I didn't know that.
The characters who are named have been so after actual historical figures in the tale of the Haiki.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, Danae, I'm not catching all that. So I'm not hearing it real. You're a little bit in the tunnel. Just so you know.
All right. What? Okay.
That's better.
The characters who are named have been so after actual historical figures in the tales of the Haiki. Did you get that, Karen?
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, I was balancing the phone on my shoulder. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, now it's back into a tunnel.
Is this better?
That's much better.
Okay.
Keep it that way.
All right. This episode of Time Tunnel has been brought to you by
Yep.
All right. So If you don't have any more comments on this one, then how about we segue into your next one?
Okay, well, let me put it this way. How about we have a bunch of Japanese schoolgirls, and they're going to an aunt's house. One of the girls' aunts, and they decide to do that, and then they notice that weird things happen, such as a piano that eats one of them, a cat who dances maniacally, an aunt who becomes young and old at the same time. Let's see, what else do we have in that? Oh, a disembodied head that bites you on the ass. You know,
a disembodied head that bites you on the ass.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. And it is one of the most wonderful, most batshit things you have ever seen in your life. And this one goes out to my friend, Mike. Mike is in the house, because Mike's last name is House. And by the way, if you ever want to learn about, you were just talking about spaghetti westerns. Mike is a author. He's got the Spaghetti Western Digest. He's got two books out there, also with WK, and wonderful, wonderful man, and really good historian on that. So definitely support Mike. And as I said, Mike is in the house. Yep. The way we're saying that is how they do it in the actual movie. Don't forget the thing about the bananas too and the watermelon. I'm just laughing my ass off. Just comment on this shit. It's like, this movie is... Now, you've seen Halsu, right? You've seen this movie.
I started watching it and lost interest in it, but I have seen those, like, ending explained recap type. And you're right, it is insane. It is absolutely insane. And I need to sit back and go watch the whole thing.
Oh, it's absolutely worthwhile. I love this movie. I freaking love this film. And it was never released in the U.S. It was made in 1977, but not released until like 2007 or 2008, something like that, when it finally came through on a Criterion edition. And
yeah.
If you're talking wacky Japan, this has got to be top of the list. Seriously, this is the first one you should go to. Because if you don't like this one, then you might as well skip the rest of the list.
One thing to add is that all of the girls are named after their... Huh?
Yeah, their name. Oh, go ahead.
Did I talk over you again? I'm sorry.
No, just go.
Okay. All of the girls in the movies are named after their characteristics. Like, we've got Gorgeous, Fantasy, Professor. I forgot who the others are. Fantasy is
Kung
because
Fu.
She's always daydreaming.
Mm-hmm. And there's Kung Fu, too.
Oh, yeah, Kung Fu.
It's a wonderful film. It's a wonderful film. We have Gary, Melody, that's the one that's the piano player. Sweet. Yeah, you've not seen anything like this. And the funny thing about this is the director, Nobuyoshi, who just passed away this year. basically had his daughter sort of like co-write this, because what's scary to a young 13-year-old? And so It's like a fever dream. It's like you've never seen anything like this. And I love this movie. I just adore this film. It's a lot of fun. And it has my highest recommendation.
Well, I definitely need to see. As a matter of fact, you know what I had to sign up for in order to be able to see it?
What?
The Criterion Channel on Roku.
Well, you know what? I actually recommend the Criterion Channel. I think it's a great channel. You know, it's not Filmstruck, but I love it. I love that channel.
So, well, for $10.99 a month, I hope I do too.
Oh, if not, then don't do it. Or do it one month.
And I got my free 14-day trial, so we'll see.
Okay, do it that way. Do your free 14-day. So where do we go from here, Miss Danae?
Where do we go from here now that all of the children are growing up? Oh, sorry. Bonus points if you know who sang that song.
No idea.
The Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't get the bonus points.
Oh, well, I'll think of a new punishment for you.
Ooh, thank you.
Okay. Our next one is Kiko Kamen. This is along the lines of HK Forbidden Superhero. This is another super masked naked superhero, only except this one is a woman. And she goes undercover at this school that teaches young boys and girls how to be news anchors. But the problem is that whenever you don't do well in school, they punish you. And I mean, I'm telling you, there are some insane S&M style punishments, but actually it's only the F because the students are not enjoying it at all. And like I said, one of them has a toothbrush torture. It's really bizarre. So you've got all these weird punishments, and then you've got Kiko Kamen, who she goes in undercover, and she is completely naked except for her mask, a scarf, and some red boots. Yeah, and she's fond of rubbing her opponent's face in their crotch, in her crotch, too. I don't know what the Japanese has this thing about crotches, I guess. I don't know. But I believe, a five. Let's see how many are in here. Four movie set. I have not watched the other movies yet. There's also an anime that I have not watched yet, and it's also also based on a manga by Go Nagai, who has done, let's see, he's done Cutie Honey, he's done Shinjoji, he's done a lot of these. Trying to think of what else he did. He's done a lot of these very, very borderline manga. Oh, yeah, I believe he did Devilman and Devil Lady. He did those. He also did Demon Lord Dante. He also did Go Kaiser. Yeah, he has a lot of those themes in his anime and, I mean, in his mangas. And like I said, they're very borderline.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's one I don't know at all. Yeah, this one I don't know at all.
Well, I would highly recommend it. I think this and HK ought to be right up your alley because you like the wacky stuff.
True. True. So, let's see, where do I want to go now? I think I need to go, you know, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is in the 2000s, but, you know, I'm going to say something that in a lot of ways, a lot of this stuff, you know, you can go a lot older than that. And one of the most odd films that are very, very old, and I don't know if you know this one or not. Now, the American title is called The Manster. And it's a film that, when I was a kid, and this is in the 60s, that they would run on Chiller Theater. And it's basically set in Japan. And it's a Japanese cast, but, of course, there's an American hero. And basically, this hero subjects himself... knows a scientist and subjects himself to a experiment, and suddenly there's an eye on his shoulder. And if you know the movie How to Get Ahead in Advertising, it's a definite nod to The Manster. Now, do you know this film at all?
I, sorry to disappoint you, Carl, but I didn't really like it.
It's not a great film. Now, I will say this. If you see the Japanese cut, it's a lot better. But I remember the visuals. And even for a film that was made in 1959, it's out there. And it's so much fun. You know, basically, he it's a setup. It's this American that goes to Japan to interview this scientist. And the thing about it is that period of time, it's just so much, you know, I mean, you got all the monsters and that sort of thing, but this was something really different. And another film that definitely did a nod to it was Army of Darkness. Where Ash splits in two, and so it's had, yeah. So the one thing is, it may not be a great movie, and I don't say that it is by any means. But for a 6-year-old or 7-year-old, whenever I first saw it, in like 64, 65, it definitely had an effect because. For a long while, you look at my shoulder like, is there an eye there? What's going on? Am I okay? Okay, I guess I'm okay.
Oh, I imagine. It was only about 3 or 4 years ago when I saw it. So I imagine if I'd seen it when I was younger, it would have had a bigger effect on me.
Right, and that's the thing. A lot of those films, earlier films, another one I'm going to mention now, we don't have an exact date yet, but we're all going to be doing commentary watches for Halloween. And one of the films that I'll be doing is Jigoku. And Jigoku is another really off-the-wall film made in 1960. And it's basically Japanese Hell is the American title.
Oh, and so it's I've been wanting to see that one.
Well, you're welcome to join us. I'll probably do that on a Saturday. I'm going to have Joe Badon with us. Joe directed the film. He was part of the ISF podcast. Directed a film called Sister Tempest, which I love. And by the way, you need to see. I sent you
the link. I just haven't watched. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Let me tell you something. We're talking about, you know, what the fuck, Japan wacky movies. Trust me, you'll love it. You'll love it because there's a lot of he certainly does a lot of nods to a number of films, Japanese films in there. So
cool.
Yeah. But anyway, Shigoku we're going to be doing that week, and we'll announce that next week, the whole schedule. But that's another one that, we've been talking basically about films past the 2000s, but this has been true all the way through back through the history of Japan, that they definitely pushed the envelope and did things that nobody else did, even back in the day.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that point as we go on with the podcast. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, my next one, and it's interesting that you brought one back from the 60s, because the one I want to talk about is Moju, The Blind Beast, and that was made in 1969. It was directed by... some of these names I can say, some of them I have a problem with. Yasuzo Masumura. And it was actually based on a story by Rinpo Itagawa. Now, Rinpo Itagawa, that's not his real name. It was a take on Edgar Allan Poe. He did a lot of very, very strange and perverted mystery stories. In fact, there's a movie called The Island of Malformed Men that was based on one of his stories. His stories are really, really twisted. But this one is about a blind artist who develops a fascination with this model and, with the help of his dear old mom, kidnaps her. He keeps her hidden in the dark, and it's one of those twisted mind games where it's one of those, I'm going to take you against your will and I'm going to make you love me type scenarios. And the fact that he's got his mother helping him is even more twisted.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really want to go into too much detail, but it gets into this climax that you are just not expecting. Worst case of Stockholm Syndrome ever, I'm going to say. But it's really good. It is a serious movie. It's not like any of the others that we have discussed previously. It's a very serious movie. It's a very dark movie, very disturbing. Basically, it's how he keeps her captive, the mind games that he plays with her, and eventually the mother starts to get jealous. So you've got that angle, that kind of Oedipal angle thrown in there. So it's just The less I say about it, the better. All I've got to say, when I watched it, I found the DVD on Netflix DVD. I don't know if it's still there, but if you can get your hands on it, definitely, definitely watch it. Another really good one that was made in the 60s is a sci-fi horror flick called Kaiyotsuki Goki Demore, otherwise known as Goki, the Body Snatcher of Hell. And basically, it is a plane crashes, and the survivors are slowly taken over by vampiric aliens. And it's got some very wacky elements in it.
I love Goki. I love that movie. I've seen it at least a couple of times. I think three times total. Definitely recommend it. I want to go back very briefly to Rinpo, because there is a movie that is part biography and part based on a story of his called Rampo. It was done in 1994. And he's had a lot of problems with the Japanese government in terms of censorship. And this dramatizes that fight that he had, along with also putting the story in. It's sort of like what Finn Wenders did with Hammett. But it's a very good film, and I would recommend that too if you want to get some historical perspective on that writer, Edogawa Rampo.
Sure. So. I would like to read some of the stories.
You could certainly go to your library and get English translations of them. It's out there for sure, without a doubt. And I do recommend the library as a general rule, if yours are open and not here in the New York City yet.
Ours are open.
Yeah, ours aren't. But you know, if they're open, you can get all sorts of things and get a lot of DVDs. And also there's a streaming service called Canopy that you can get through your library too, which gives you a lot of art films and things like that and documentaries. So always a shout out to the library. So there you go.
By the way, I just want to say before we go on to our next one, which is our joint movie, Carl is my art guy. I'm just now getting into what they call art films, art house films. I used to be rather snobby about them. I mean, my attitude is like, if I can't get a film in 5 minutes, it's not worth my time. I've come a long way since then, haven't I, Carl?
Well, you know, I mean, just like anything else, you know, you have, you know, predilections about, you know, certain things and that sort of thing. If you open up to it, any genre, you'll find something you like. I mean, I was that way. My dad loved Westerns, and so I was force-fed Westerns when I was a kid, all John Wayne movies. And like, I hated Westerns for the longest time. And now, you know, I won't say I love every Western, but there are certain Westerns I absolutely love. And just like anything else, you have to open yourself up to new genres and give it a shot. But that doesn't mean that you don't go back to your tried and true favorites. Trust me.
I know.
And with you, you know, but it's always good to open up because you never know. I mean, take a look at what's happening now in art house horror. Take a look at The Witch, the Lighthouse, you know, a number of these films that are coming out, Midsommar, Ari Aster. You know, sort of melding the idea of an art house movie with horror, and those are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's stuff out there, so you know, always be open for something new. That's really important. Okay,
but
back to you, Mistress.
You always have to save room in your heart, though, for Blood Freak. Yes.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes.
And I guarantee you, Danae, we are doing that as a watch on Thanksgiving. Have to do it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to suggest that.
Oh, you don't have to. That's pretty much a tradition, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So this is mine and Carl's joint movie. This is one that we have both seen, and I've actually seen it more than once, and I think I've seen it about 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
First time I watched it, oh, hell no. But my tastes have changed since then. I've gotten to where I can handle a lot more extreme stuff, as long as there's a story to go with it, and I freaking love this movie now. We are talking about Ichi the Killer. And I'm going to let Carl start on this one.
Okay. So you have this character who is an enforcer in the Yakuza. Sound familiar, kids? Gozu. Kakahara searches for his missing boss. He comes across Ichi, a repressed and psychotic killer who can inflict levels of pain on Kakahara that he's only dreamed of achieving. So let me tell you something. This is the perfect movie for Danae's Dungeon. Okay? But I will tell you this. It goes to extremes. And I love the tagline. And the tagline in, let me look it up here. And Japanese is, Aiwa kanai itai. Love really hurts.
Yes, folks. Yes, amongst the rape, the dismemberment, the humiliation, and everything that goes on in this movie, it's at its heart a love story.
Oh, it is. It's a love story. Now one other. Go ahead.
Because you see, no one could deal out pain. What is wrong with my mouth tonight? No one can deal out pain like Kakihara's boss until he meets Ichi, and it was love at first sight.
Yep.
So it's at its heart a love story, a sweet and tender love story that will tear out your heart and your guts. And anything else.
Don't forget the eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, the eyeballs, yeah.
Yep, you know where we're going with that. One of the wonderful things I love about this movie is when this was screened at the Toronto Film Festival, they basically copied a gag from Mark of the Devil, and they passed out barf bags. It's a wonderful movie.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody told me he actually had the barf bags from Mark of the Devil. Was that you?
I did it one time, but no, I actually think that's Doc that has it.
Oh, it may be Doc.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Doc. But yeah, they had barf bags that were given out. And so those barf bags are worth money too. Because there weren't that many made of those. But yeah, it's the other thing too. Okay, so it's called Ishii the Killer. Ishii in Japanese means one, which is why Ishii has the number one on his back padding of his extreme sports body armor, and so on and so forth. So there's all sorts of little things like that. And yeah, American audiences is going to miss a lot of this. This is based on a manga too. There's actually, did you know there's a PlayStation 2 video game?
No, I did not.
There's a video game of Ishii the Killer.
Don't tell Jack Thompson that. He'll be trying to get a fan.
Yep.
What?
And it's been banned. And it's
Go
been
ahead.
Banned in a lot of countries. It was banned in Malaysia. Caused controversy in Germany, and then was banned for distribution there also. And private possession of this film remains legal, however. But it remains barred as of 2014. Well, it might have now no longer banned, but whatever the case. Yeah, this one really pushes the envelope, kids. But then again, it's Mika. How many Mika films have we done today? Four or five?
Let's see.
Seriously.
Sukiyaki Western Django. You did Go Zoo. We did Ichi. I did Visitor Q.
Yeah, that's five.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things that I want to mention is that before I saw the movie, I saw Kakehata's picture on the cover. Now, I thought Kakehata was Ichi because his face was on the cover. And let me talk to you about Kakehata. He's got bleach blonde hair. He has slits on the side of his mouth, and whenever he smokes, the smoke comes out it. He's a very interesting-looking guy. And the actor who plays in Tobinato Asano, he's actually a very handsome man. So they did some work on him. But the thing about it is, Kakehata, they might as well have named the movie after him, because to be honest, Ichi's not in it very much. And aside from his extreme violent temper tantrums, in my opinion, there's really not that much to it. Kakehata is not only is he in most of the scenes, but he is an interesting protagonist, and he carries. To me, he carries the movie. It should have been called Kakehata, not Ichi, in my opinion.
Well. Whatever the case, they're connected. It's a love story. Remember that.
Yeah,
so, you know.
That's just my opinion. I find Kakehata more interesting than Ichi.
Yeah, understood. But it's the relationship. It's both of them that make it happen. I it's not my favorite Mika by any means. I tend to like Gozo a lot more. I just like that cow-headed demon. I just adore him. I'd like to have one for a pet along with a flying monkey from Wizard of Oz. That's another story. It's a really good film. But it is hard to get through. Beware. I think it's the most violent film we ever did. And that's saying something.
Even more violent than Gozu?
Actually, Gozu isn't as violent as you think it is. Gozu is just batshit weird.
Have you seen the Dead or Alive trilogy? I've heard that one was pretty bonkers.
Yeah. There's all, as we said, with Mika, damn near everything is bonkers. Now, 13 Assassins is very violent and has a very... very high body count, and so does Blood of the Immortal. But those are more standard style samurai films, so it doesn't have the effect, the violence that it does in something like Ichi.
They're not insane.
No,
not at all. Filmed.
Right, exactly. But I think that should give everyone a basic idea of some of the wackiness in Japan.
Mm-hmm. And our wacky taste in movies.
You know, and trust me, there's a number of them we have not mentioned. Tetsuo the Iron Man, the Kalimari wrestler. God knows how many more. I mean, there's just a shitload.
Now, I'm not being judgmental when I say this, but there's just some of the movies that I don't want to be discussing on the show that I'm really not into, and that's the gore for ghost's sake, the guinea pig films, the grotesque, the... like Psycho Snuff Reels and My Red Guts and all of those. That's just, I don't judge people who watch them, but that's just not my thing. So we won't be discussing this on those on the show.
No, agreed. None of the, you know, I mean, the closest one to come to would be Itchy, but these are more bizarre. We didn't mention Happiness of the Katakuris, Executive Koala, and there's so many more out there. And as I said, the Calamari Wrestler.
Those are ones that have stories along with the violence and the insanity.
Yeah. But most of them are just insane. A lot of these don't have the violence. A lot of them are more comedies. Funky Forest, too. Let's not forget Funky Forest. Oh, good God.
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, trust me. I can't even explain it.
And
but
then
Funky Forest is definitely one.
The Pinku Iga films are an entirely different beast.
Yeah, and the Pink films we won't get into. They're different than this, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, and you know what? Let's not forget Tetsuo the Iron Man either.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that one.
Yeah, but still, you're talking batshit weird.
Oh,
funky,
yeah, it is batshit insane. I will say that,
yeah.
Especially one particularly uncomfortable scene.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, to say the least. And we're not even getting into the Sion Sono films either, which are completely different weirdness involved. But that should give you a pretty good idea of Wacky Japan. What do you think? You agree?
Oh, I think we gave them a pretty good starting point.
Absolutely. And another thing, as we start to wrap up here, I'll always give a shout out to Incredibly Strange Films, because if you're looking for something wacky and weird, it's a good place to check it out. We, of course, also do the ISF podcast through them, and we do a First Filmmaker podcast. Now, coming up on Deviant Legion, on Tuesday, Limes Marshall is back with his new show, Terror with a Twist of Limes. And we're going to be talking about... But he has a guest. One of the guests that he has today is a special effects person on Tuesday who has done special effects for both the Expanse and forget what else. I'm trying to find it right now. But really, really, that's going to be a great show. And then on Wednesday, we have a new show, which is the Diva Hour. And we were going to premiere it last week, but it just didn't work out. And that's with Mika Davis. And Mika's been a guest on my show a number of times. And her first show is going to be about her trip to Las Vegas. And that'll be a nice intro to Mika and what we're going to do with that show. On Friday, Adam is going to be doing a show with Gregory Runfeld on Heimat, which is the German TV series. So we'll be doing that on Friday. And what do you have planned for next week, Miss Danae?
Exploitation! We've got Hillbillies, we've got Moonshines, we've got Coughing, we've got...
Don't forget the Holder Tops! There's lots of Holder Tops.
And we've got Backwoods Car Chases. We've got Hillbillies. We've got Moonshine. We've got Bank Robberies. We've got all sorts of backwoods goodness for you next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, a week from Tuesday, a week from Lime Show, we have a very, very special Halloween show where our special guest will be, drum roll, if I had one, I'd do a drum roll, John Amplis. And John Amplis, if you don't know who he is an actor that did a number of films with George Romero, including Martin, which he starred in, which is one of the great vampire films of all time. So John, who's a good friend of the podcast, I've done a couple with him, has agreed to come on. So, pardon me, I've been dealing with sinuses all day. But it's going to be a great show. And we're going to do that a week from Tuesday. So that's what we have planned on Deviant Legion.
And you better give him his Father's Day cake.
That's true. That's very, very true. Otherwise, he's going to call into the radio show and complain.
Either that or he's going to come back from the dead. Oh, wait, he's alive. Never mind.
No,
he'll come up
that's
with some
the whole
way
point.
To punish you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, trust me, he will. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And John's a great guy. And he's a friend of the podcast. So it's going to be a great time. So get ready for that. And that's next Tuesday, a week from Tuesday. And that's the 20th. So that's all the business we got right now. Do you want to send us out into the wild blue, Miss Danae?
Oh, I thrill to the touch of your lips, dear. Much more, so much more for the bite of your whip, dear. As we dance to the masochism tango.
Ooh. Ever since my master kissed the bed, I don't let me. I got nothing to hit but the wall. Oh, yeah. Nothing to crack, beat but the eggs. Oh, yeah, and so on and so forth. But anyway, just give me a moment here. And we're almost ready to go. And we're ready to go. So send us out, my dear.
Well, thank you for joining us. I hope we gave you some more goodies to add to your watch list. And I hope y'all have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. All right. Take care. Have fun. I certainly am. Good night, everyone.